I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for
Uzi and Aaron.
We're celebrating the life of Jim Molan today with Aaron, first day back. Your dad passed a couple of weeks ago. The service was last Wednesday. It was amazing. We're about to hear your final conversation with your dad. We actually want to. We want other people to tell us their final conversations with someone they loved.
Yeah, the final conversations, the final words that someone that you dearly love that has dearly departed. 13 10 60 lines are open. Thank you. We always appreciate you sharing with us. We got the family passes to Taronga Zoo for telling us your story today. So 13 10 60 lines are open.
So Aaron, you were at the hospital. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. And we'd had a little bit of before Dad passed, we'd had a little bit of a false alarm, I guess you could call it, and we thought that we were going to lose him a little bit earlier than we did. And so my brother, actually, who I've spoken about before on this show, Mick, who's incredible, came to Sydney, and I just sat down to have dinner, and he kind of just showed up and said, we didn't want you to be alone, but something's happened with Dad and we need to go now.
Yep.
So we kind of left late at night and drove through the night to get to the hospital, and then went in and saw things had calmed down a little bit, went and saw Dad the next morning, which was, you know, really hard to see him in hospital like that, but also lovely to be there and that kind of thing. And then as I kind of left to go, because when things had calmed down a little bit, I had to come back and get Eliza, and then we're going to figure out how I'd kind of come back down and base myself down there for a little bit longer. My three other siblings were there. I've got an older sister, a younger sister, and my little brother. And Dad kind of signaled for me to stay as everyone was walking out. And so in my mind, and Dad and I like, you know, everyone's got a special relationship with their dad, but I like to think that our special relationship is, you know, a little bit unique because, you know, we love the same things and our work worlds have combined, particularly since joining Sky News this year. I had him on my show most weeks. He would come on and talk about national security, which was just really lovely. And we talk about Ukraine all the time. We talk about war and the military and all those kind of things. And so I don't know. I in my mind kind of thought that it was going to be, you know,
wisdom.
Something. Yeah. I didn't know.
The way that
know.
You can help keep Australia safe.
Yes.
Because he was very adamant.
Basically a 10-point plan for national security or something like
that. Well, as I think the former Prime Minister said, that Jim Molan has helped keep this country safe.
Absolutely he has, without doubt.
And the tributes were unbelievable.
Makes me immensely proud. It really does. But I kind of went back, and you guys know I'm very emotional. And so, and my siblings are all quite stoic. So I'm generally the one that's sitting there crying. And so I was sitting there and I was quite emotional and I'm a bit teary, and I'd obviously... I'm setting it up here to try and make it less of a blow to me.
What
and I'd obviously
say?
Driven all night.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's not like I'd done my makeup or hair.
Makeup. No.
I didn't have full makeup.
No, it wasn't about you.
And anyway, and I went and by the way, I've thought a lot about what I share and what I don't share. And there's things that I wouldn't share.
Yeah.
But there's also, I know Dad, I think, as well as anyone, apart from my mum. And I know he'd be very comfortable with me sharing this. He'd I think, probably consider it to be quite entertaining.
Yes.
But I sat down next to his bed and he held my hand and he kind of looked at me and, you know, he said, you know, come here, beautiful girl. Well, he calls us three girls, beautiful girl. And I sat down and I was, you know, crying and upset. And he just said, you look terrible. And then he paused and I didn't really know what to say. And then he said, you know, and really sad. And I went, okay. Yeah. And I was waiting for, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But. That was it.
That was it.
So his final words were, you look terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. But can I tell you, and it was quite, and look, you know, we spoke after that because, you know, we spent the next 2 weeks at the hospital and there were different, you know, interactions and I then went home and I got my lashes done. I got a tan. I spent the whole drive home to Sydney looking in the rearview mirror at myself. But I did walk out and my three siblings and mum were all waiting out there to kind of see. And I went out and I kind of told them what had happened. And I kind of said to them, like, and I'm the hot one. So you guys are screwed. Like,
imagine what they
are
saying to you.
Did they laugh? Did they laugh?
They did.
They laughed.
And do you know what, though? We actually had some really incredible moments of having a laugh. And I tell you what I've done since then. I've drunk water more than I ever have in my life. I feel like in some way I'm going to honour what Dad said. And I feel like I feel like I look better.
You look great today. So obviously it was tough love, but you know, it's hit the spot.
But it actually, yeah, it's changed some lifestyle habits that I might have had that otherwise wouldn't have changed. But yeah, well, he was an incredible man.
I'll come back and tell you the last things my dad said to me. He was always very harsh. Yes. Not always. He was often harsh.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
This is a segment no dog lover can afford to miss.
Much is that doggy in the window.
Look, it's I don't know how much the doggy in the window is, but do you have a dog? Do you have a dog on heat? Do you have a breeding dog? I don't know. Probably don't. Most dogs have their nunchachos, or what do you call it? They have the snip snip, and so they can't breed.
And just to clarify, for me and for those who aren't into animals, they cut off their testicles.
Think so, yes.
Is that how they do it? Not
pretty sure. No. They keep the longer bit. Yes, absolutely. Yes, definitely. I've seen my dog's longer bit. But he doesn't have the other bits. Yes. Yeah, they keep the meat, but they lose the two veg.
There you go.
So, but my dog, Barkley, who is 16 years old, who is a rescue dog, who we love, who hopefully we lost Bubbles recently. Bubbles had a heart attack, RIP Bubbles, another rescue dog.
Really broke you.
Absolutely, but we've still got Barkley. And so Barkley sleeps beside my bed every night and he's still got a lot of life left in him, even though we have to carry him upstairs every night because the stairs are hard for him, but still loves to run around. He has a friend, and his friend's name is Pixie. Pixie is our brother-in-law's dog, new dog. Pixie is a female. When Pixie turns up, Barkley wants to have relations with Pixie. And it's weird. I thought, Barkley, you don't have it, and you haven't had it for a long time, but very much invested in Pixie. And
how old's Pixie? Is there an age difference?
Maybe two.
Oh,
18
God,
months.
That's...
So we discussed this the other day and said, is Pixie, yes, and Pixie has not been spayed. So Pixie could have babies.
So sorry, what does that mean? So they remove the uterus of dogs?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm not a vet, but they do something to. All right, so Pixie can have babies now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, you've got to be careful, don't you, when Pixie's at the park, that Pixie doesn't, you don't turn around and Pixie's, you know, been impregnated. And my brother-in-law said, we don't have to be careful. Because of how long it takes for dogs to mate. I had no idea. I thought it could be over in like 15 seconds.
Okay, go.
That is untrue.
What?
Right.
Dogs have to mate and be connected for at least half an hour. So they're joined.
What?
I don't know about that.
Half an hour. At least, maybe up to an hour.
Because is it still a fertilization process? Is there still something that comes out of the dog?
Yeah, well, it has to be, obviously, but to make from one to the other. Yeah, but they need to be connected.
I don't believe that.
Listen to Brittany, who's Brittany?
Well, Brittany is an official, is a vet nurse from Menai. Brittany, you've heard Husey's dog mating claim. Your thoughts?
Yes. He's right. It takes up to half an hour.
Okay, so wait, takes up to half an hour. So
yes.
But
the actual act takes half an
Brittany,
hour.
It can also take 10 minutes though, could it?
No, it's usually about half an hour, but your brother-in-law does have to be careful because the male dog will get stuck. So you can't unconnect them.
Yeah, right. So
it takes that 5 seconds to stick them, but they'll be stuck for about half an hour.
Right. So he's at the park with his lovely dog, Pixie, who's just doing her thing. Another dog comes up because Pixie's on heat, gets stuck to Pixie, and then he has to stay at the park as those both dogs are together for half an hour.
Jeez. Yeah. And if the other dog's bigger than Pixie, they could easily just drag her around for half an hour, freaking out why they're stuck.
So that would be a really traumatic experience for everyone concerned.
Oh, yes. Man.
You couldn't just pull them apart, Brit?
No, God,
no.
Oh, wow.
Now, my brother...
So the male has a gland that'll hold him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So he just, once he's in, he's there.
He's in.
Now, my brother-in-law did say they also do it bum to bum. Is that true or not?
So what happens is they get stuck, and when they have their whole freak out, they kind of just flip. And then they look like they're bum to bum, but they start the process and the natural way.
The hump way.
Spin it around. So then they're just, backing into
each
other.
Yeah, because he's stuck. They've started the process and then they've spun around, but he's still stuck.
And so, what if one of them changes its mind midway through?
They're already stuck.
Oh, God.
Is there any way you can unjoin them or not?
Once the swelling goes down, then they're no longer stuck.
Did any of you know this?
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. I'm willing to pay this one.
You've done well there.
Well done.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you
so much, Brittany. A lot of brown cover.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Also, start thinking about what you want to give up for Feb Fast. It's 28 days. Mm. Today is the 1st of February. I've got something really central to my life that I'm going to stop for 28 days. Erin, you're thinking about it. Ed, you're thinking about it. But we're going to do it after 8 a.m.
So it's hardest for Ed because he's the cleanest living of all of us. But
extraordinary.
I've got something I could that might...
Wait till after 8.
I don't know if I can.
All right, but we're going to get people involved and you'll win Ed Sheeran tickets if you tell us what you're going to give up. Pamela Anderson has got a new autobiography out and it's called Love, Pamela. And it's in her own words, no ghostwriters.
Can you tell?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. With sentence construction and just stories going nowhere. But no, there's some really interesting stuff in it. So Pamela Anderson, famous from Baywatch, one of the most recognisable people on earth to this day. Baywatch is still the most watched television show in the world.
More than Friends?
Yes.
Wow.
Baywatch is number one.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's watched all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because high-cut red swimmers are universal. It's a language everyone can speak.
Yeah. So Pamela has been famous for a long time in LA, lived in LA. She was once at a party and Jack Nicholson was there. And this is a little bit – it's what I'm about to play – sort of risque, so just keep that in mind.
Kids in the car.
Yeah, but it's not too bad. Just don't explain things. If you don't explain things here, it's fine, right? So, Pamela is at a party. Jack Nicholson, one of the world's most famous actors, is at the party. And let her take it away.
And this is where I came upon that actor from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mr. Nicholson had two beautiful women with him. They were all giggling and kissing up against the wall, sliding all over each other. I walked by to use the mirror, bending over the sink to fix my lip gloss, trying not to look, but I couldn't help myself and caught his eye in the reflection. I guess that got him to the finish line because he made a funny noise, smiled, and said, "Thanks, dear."
Sorry, what?
Well, we're not going to explain what happened.
No, I know that. You don't need to, but what?
That's Hollywood for you. That's old school. Jack Nicholson apparently doesn't leave his house anymore, so...
After this was revealed.
No. He hasn't been seen in public for about a year.
Oh, I saw that headline,
So there's talk, because we're at the basketball.
Well, he clearly doesn't need to leave the house, Jim.
We went to LA and we're at the basketball and Jack Nicholson's seat was meant to be right in front of ours.
Yeah.
Yes, but he didn't turn up. His son was there with a model, so I think he might have passed on his way of life. Anyway.
His checkbook.
So what
I'm not saying she was paid. I just mean he's more attractive because he's rich and famous.
Now, what about Scott Morrison? How does he involved?
Well, this rings such a bell and I haven't Googled because I want to hear it firsthand from Pam and from you and from Scott, clearly, but rings bells, right?
I am so happy. I'm so excited that it's the exact same story. Just
with ScoMo. Look, Scott Morrison.
I was at Engadine Macca's and he made a funny noise and they said, clean up, needed.
Now, let's get back to... Remember that she loves the bloke.
Who's she?
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange, yes.
She loves Wiki Guy.
Yes. Yeah, so
they dated.
Did they date?
I don't think so.
They did. They had a moment. In the book, it talks about them having times.
Yeah, right. All right. I haven't read the whole book, let's be honest. But, all right. So.
Great.
No, come on.
I know. It's hard. There's not enough time.
I will definitely read this whole book. I love it. But so she wants to campaign for Julian Assange to free Julian. Mm. And she wants to, she wants help from the Australian Prime Minister.
Yes.
She reached out to the Australian Prime Minister with an open letter, his response angered her. Have a listen to this.
While I was in Australia, I had hoped to meet with Prime Minister Scott Morrison to make a plea in person to the Australian government to help Julian. After I wrote an open letter to Mr. Morrison, he responded cheekily in the press by saying he'd love to meet me if he could bring a few of his buddies along. That didn't go over well.
ScoMo's going to bring a few of his buddies along. What are they going to do, ScoMo? You're the Prime Minister. So did he actually say that?
He couldn't have, did he?
Well, this was on a radio, I think it was a radio show in Australia. This is ScoMo.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of mates have asked me if they could be my special envoy to sort the issue out with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, see, that's actually what she says is not a fair portrayal of what occurred. In his defence, and I've been critical of Scott Morrison and complimentary over the years, but that is actually, he said, I've had a few mates who have offered to be my special envoy. Okay, that is not him saying,
he did say plenty.
Only if I can bring some buddies along. That is actually not a fair portrayal, in my opinion.
No, but he opened himself up to it, didn't he?
Oh, mate. I mean, her whole career, has been based predominantly on being a sex symbol.
Yes.
And she has courted the attention of men very openly for a very long time. So I don't think what he said was really that offensive.
All right, ScoMo, you're off the hook. There we go, baby. You're off the hook. Now, Aaron, you know what my son said to me a little while back? He said, Dad, he's 13. He said, Dad, if you're not famous on TikTok, you're not famous.
Oh, it hurts.
And he also texted me the video made by the man we're about to speak to.
This video?
He said, have you seen this, Dad?
Yeah, so f***ing, call my wife up today, said, what's for dinner? And she was like, pink s***ing gully gums. I was like, that's really f***ing useful.
The man behind that voice joins us in the studio.
Yes, good morning to you, Matt Joyce. Lovely to see you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having
me. You've got a lovely voice, actually, Matt.
Thank you so much.
Fairly normal type voice.
Yes. I'm feeling very comfortable in here. Everyone's very nice.
Now, Matt, you are a muso by trade, aren't you?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so you're trying to make your own way in the industry, in the world.
Yep.
You have your own TikTok account, don't
you? I do. Yeah, yes. Matt Joyce Music. It's up there. TikTok account, Spotify, Instagram, the lot. It's all there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have any of your own videos, just being yourself, got the amount of views that the one got being me?
No, and it's really bloody annoying. So.
So you're both annoyed for the same reason.
Yeah, that's
in
exactly
reverse.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, spot on.
Because it wasn't your actual TikTok, Matt, which makes this even worse that this was shared on. So someone else has benefited off you benefiting off Husey.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Yeah, my mate Reese uploaded it. So we were out at a park and it was for a birthday event. And I think I slipped up and said something. I was like, oh, that sounded a bit like Husey. And he goes, oh, can you do a Dave Hughes? And I went, yeah. He's like, let me film it. So
he just filmed it in a park.
In a park. It was the most casual thing ever. And
did he upload it straight away or not?
He uploaded it the day after, I believe. But yeah, and since then, it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to my family. So.
So were you getting messages as soon as it was uploaded? Were you getting messages that this is going well?
It was a little bit slow to start with. And then I saw some people comment on it, like Dom Dollar, Abby Chatfield. I saw that Fev liked it. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here. Like, this is going too well.
Brendan Favol is one of the ones that messaged me. Abby Chatfield hasn't, but right. I've been getting text messages from people I've met once 10 years ago. Have you seen this? Really? Like, it's crazy.
So let's get down to the kind of real issue here, the core issue. What Husey's more worried about than anything else, well, it's kind of probably annoyed about, is A, the attention with a younger audience because he's really chasing
that.
He wants that desperately.
That
and B, if there's some kind of ability to monetize this and this is occurring and he's not getting a cut, that's really going to annoy him too. So can you tell me, first of all, have you made any money out of this impersonation?
Well, first of all, I've got to disclaim, I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how to monetize TikTok.
Has your mate who uploaded it, has he got a lot of followers or not?
No.
So
he's got nothing.
Really come from nowhere.
It's come from nowhere. He's got like 300, 400 views on every video. And then he uploads me doing Husey. So we're all just, as a community, I think we're really ticked off.
Everyone's annoyed. This is brilliant.
500,000 views and no one knows where they've come
from.
I'm going to have to speak to this Mr. Algorithm.
All right.
Can we, the algorithm.
Let's do one. We'll go off and let's do one. We'll do one with Matt being Hughesy and then Hughesy being Hughesy.
And we'll see if we can get that into the algorithm.
Yes. And then we'll see if we can't make that work. So we'll release that today. All right. Could you take us out of this little break, Matt as Hughesy? Just, you know, it's new Today FM and we'll be back in a moment. Could you take us out, please, Hughesy?
Yeah, it's new Today FM and we'll be back in a ticky. Thank you.
Yeah, Erin, your daughter is worried about her curly hair.
Yeah, she's only 4 and a half and just the most beautiful, perfect little thing like they all are at that age. And she goes to preschool where all the kids look different and... But anyway, she's just decided suddenly that she hates her curly hair and she wants straight hair. And I don't want her to hate any part of herself.
Yes, but how can she not do that?
Great question.
Well, let's be inspired by Sophie. Sophie, yes. From Crow's Nest. Hi. Tell us about you.
Well, I'm 33, and when I was a teenager, I went to like a private all-girls boarding school, and all the girls there that I was friends with were like straight up and down, you know, like flat as a tack. And I've always had like hips and boobs and thighs, and I was always the girl that everyone was just like friends with, all the guys. And then now that I'm older, like it's started trending to have hips and curves and stuff, and now I'm winning.
Yeah, big bootay is in. You were there before it was fashionable.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Brilliant. Right. So I don't know if that's, so I just need to tell her, just wait, honey. Your time will come.
Yeah, well, curly hair's
always in. Yeah, but so is everything. Right. All body shapes are.
God, you know, confidence is the most sexy thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a big one here. Tiana from Penrith. What was your aspect of you that you thought, hang on, I'm gonna own this?
When I was in primary school, I went to a Catholic primary school and everyone was tan and Italian and had really dark brown hair. I was the only redhead, very pale and bright red hair. So I get judged a lot and teased and called names. But these days, everyone's trying to get the same color hair as I have. So it's kind of ironic.
Exactly.
Yes, from the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's nothing hotter than red hair. You know, I remember me, I used to have freckles and got called freckle face. You know? I didn't know they called freckle face.
And now?
Eventually, they all burnt off. All my freckles I haven't got any freckles at all.
I don't think they burn off, do they? Just fade, I think.
What happens to them?
Yeah.
What happened to my freckles?
You have zero freckles.
I've got zero freckles, and now freckles are in. I don't have any.
Let's go to Michelle from Liverpool. Was this your feet,
hey.
Michelle?
Hi, good morning, guys. Yeah, my feet. I'm actually 5 and a half, and I hated it as a kid. Everyone always laughed that I had small feet. And now, I'm sorry, ladies, but I'm the one that's laughing because I'm getting all the best shoes on sale.
Oh,
so while you guys, all your sevens are sold out, I get all the size 5 and a halfs when they're on sale.
Are you tall yourself, though? Like, are you proportional?
Yeah.
So, like, you're quite short. Are you, or, like, what's your...
Yeah. So, yeah, 155.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's not that short. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, but as a woman, I think 155 is about average, I'd say. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But all those Krusty the Clown, big-footed freaks, and now...
Easy. I'm like a size 10. I can go to an 11.
Yeah, right. Okay,
I'm trying to figure out what the message out of this segment is for my daughter and her self-confidence, and I don't think I've found it.
Oh, hey, people are too thin and good looking. That's what I think. Sick to death of all these.
I know.
Good looking.
Let
young
yourself
people.
Go for the God, love of God.
Donuts.
Focus on your mind. Okay.
Stop moving.
Perfect message.